We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Henley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Henley. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Henley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has the lowest tire prices right now. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. Longtime contributor to this program and a great friend of ours, mainly mine. Big Z!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
You're friendly with Brian, too. I don't mean to exclude
Hello,
you.
Hello, Brad.
We're all friends.
What's
well,
up?
You tell us who's playing, who's not playing. You know, you look at that team and they could really use a tight end. They could use a guard. They could use a middle linebacker, for God's sake. Any ideas how the walking wounded are faring and whether or not they're going to be able to play against the Detroit Lions?
Well, Danny Trevathan missed last week's game when they allowed a season-high 160 yards on the ground to the Green Bay Packers, and he did not participate in practice yesterday, which is a bad sign. If a guy's already missed an entire week, actually more than that, as we didn't see Danny during the bye week, and then isn't out there for the first day of practice of the week, generally speaking, that's a very ominous sign. Could he be out there today? Certainly that's possible. I wouldn't rule him out for Sunday just yet, but I'd say it's probably trending in the wrong direction for Trevathan Sunday against the Lions. Kyle Long, the right guard, has got the left hand injury. I think there's a chance he's able to give it a go against Detroit, which would be a boost for the Bears. The Lions, I think I mentioned it the other day when I was on, they surrendered 200 yards rushing to the Cleveland Browns this past week. Mm-hmm. And a guy I was talking to said, well, some of that was Deshaun Kizer getting outside the pocket and taking off and running for 50-some-odd yards. And the reality is Mitch Trubisky's every bit as athletic as Kizer and with the speed. So there's certainly a chance for Mitch to help the Bears pad their rushing statistics against the Detroit defense that was beat up in the run game earlier in the year by the Falcons. And I want to say at least one other team ran the ball very effectively against Detroit.
Was anyone buying what Dow Logans was selling yesterday and trying to explain why Tariq Cohen has been kind of MIA the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think they need to get Cohen a little bit more involved, but I'm not as outraged by the playing time for him as some people are, I suppose. Maybe he misspoke when he called him their best playmaker. I mean, that's a possibility. I think most people accept that Tariq's kind of a gadget player, a joker back. The offense right. isn't going to run through him. I've mentioned to you guys that I talked to a scout with another team who said, hey, he doesn't look like the same player he did in preseason at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. that he slowed down a little bit. I think everybody has gotten tired of seeing negative runs pile up when he's, I don't know if he'd admit it, but the coaches have said that he's, you know, tried too hard to hit a home run every time he touches the ball, and that's led to some negative plays. And then if you start feeding him the ball a bunch more, you're going to have, you know, the same crowd with a different pitchfork show up wondering why Jordan Howard isn't getting the ball. I think the answer is to get Cohen more involved, to get him a few more snaps, and to try to find ways to get him the ball and space. The other thing that a lot of people haven't mentioned is when his playing time started to dip at about week four, week five, that's when he was given more responsibility in the return game. That's when he became the punt returner and the kickoff returner. So they were putting more and more responsibility on him, and they had to pull back, I think, a little bit. You don't want your punt returner going back there when he's still gassed. You don't want your kickoff returner not able to give you some juice in that area. So that's also been a small reason why the playing time has dropped a little bit. I think get him a little bit more playing time, see if you can scheme up ways to get him the ball in space. But you know, if Tariq Cohen's on the field for 75% of the snaps, I don't know how much good he's going to be.
Help me out, Brad. I've been trying to make a case for the Bears, and I, you know, looked at the weather report. It's not going to be raining. You know, you look at the team they're playing, which is an up-and-down team. The quarterback, unfortunately, is probably the best one, well, certainly the best one left standing in the NFC North. Give me a case, though. What would it take? It would take the Bears playing defense again and running the ball, right? Simple as that.
Well, they had had a stretch there, 8 takeaways, I believe, in 3 games. So if they can get some takeaways going against Detroit, I think they've got a chance. Detroit can be very one-dimensional on offense. Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, that's kind of the ground game for the Lions, and they can stray from that quickly. And so that ought to help Vic Fangio out, having at least some type of understanding of what's coming, what they are going to be calling. The secondary has played pretty well for the Bears this season. They had a couple plays they'd certainly love to have back against Green Bay. Prince didn't fit up that Ty Montgomery run right. Very well. Kyle Fuller had a couple plays I imagine that he regrets. But you know, this is a Lions team that in the past has had a tendency to play down to the level of its competition. So, you know, I think the spread's relatively close. I know it opened at 3, so
it got to 2.5 and it's back at 3. So that's, you know, not a ton of movement.
No, and think about that with Matthew Stafford going against Mitch Trubisky and his anonymous wide receivers.
This segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Webb Chevy. For a great deal on Chevys in Chicago, visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
And speaking of those wide receivers, you know, Marcus Wheaton says he's healthy. Is he going to turn into anything in the remaining games here? Will you ever really say he impacted a game?
Well, that'll be one of the all-time heists at House Hall if he doesn't. Getting $6 million this year. You know, a lot of people were up in arms about why he did not play more against Green Bay when he was healthy in uniform. And as Dal said yesterday, and I buy this completely, the guy hasn't practiced a lot. And the guy, they're looking for guys that Mitch is comfortable with. And Marcus said he thought he had a really good day of practice yesterday. So we're going to see his playing time go back up. He basically hasn't played. Well, those were the first 2 snaps he had since the first 3 games of the season, guys. So he hasn't been out there a lot. They need to
What's
get a
he making?
At
What's his paycheck?
Million.
I'm just saying.
Six.
That's
yeah.
a lot of money for a little production.
For them to have, you know, Josh Bellamy out there instead. And I got, you know, tons of mailbag questions about why Bellamy was out there. And, you know, Bellamy is better at getting open than a bunch of the guys they have, and I tried to end the answer by explaining it this way. If Josh Bellamy's getting any sort of tangible playing time at wide receiver next season, it's been a complete failure by the front office to overhaul that position. But where they're at right now, you look at the guys out there, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. And Bellamy, you go back and look at that route he ran on the 46-yard touchdown, and it was pretty nice to spring wide open against a veteran cornerback in Devon House. That's a problem position for him this year. I don't know that it's going to be a good position for him next year. They've got so much heavy lifting to do. at wide receiver. But if that guy's logging significant playing time next season, he's either gotten much, 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 much better, or they've completely dropped the ball overhauling the position.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When Dal Logan says he's your fastest wide receiver, well, that's great, but it's not even 50-50 proposition that he catches it once he does get open.
Yeah, well, you know, I put one drop on him for the game the other day. I think he caught two balls.
Two out of seven targets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, some of those targets were not
high.
Catchable. Yeah.
How many drops
catchable.
For the year, though? I mean, here's the problem, Brad. I thought he was dropping the ball too much a year ago. And then,
no question.
You know, and you wonder why he's even on the roster. Well, it's special teams.
Yeah, and I was told, yeah, and it's special
right.
teams the only reason why. I mean, but I had a GM tell me in December last year, well, we would have cut that guy. Professional football, you can't allow that to happen. So, yeah, they've got a serious lack of talent at that position, and they're going to have to restock the one spot, which is difficult to do, the two spot, the three spot. Basically, anybody currently on the team, if they're in the mix, that it's like add-on gravy. You know, it's we'll see what they can do. You can't count on anyone under contract. I'm talking about Kevin White. I don't know how Cam Meredith is going to come back from that knee injury. You can't pencil him into a two or three slot right now. I mean, you've got to go out and bring in a bunch of different guys. And they better do a better job of bringing them in than they have in the past. And I'm talking about Eddie Royal and Marcus Wheaton and Kevin White and whoever else you want to mention.
Is Dal Logan's in over his head?
He's in trouble this year. I mean, they're 3-6. Head coach, the water's getting hot up there for everybody. The seats are getting hot. I don't know.
The question, I guess, is: Is John Fox limiting his creativity? Is John Fox telling him, use Tarik Cohen, don't run the ball, or only run the ball?
Yeah, maybe to a degree. And then you look at it and you say, well, the guy's got a rookie quarterback, which is a hindrance for anyone. The person everyone's up in arms about this week, Tarik Cohen, is a rookie. And the other thing about him, he went Cohen on the field on third down to just get trucked by Clay Matthews, and the quarterback gets hurt. Then the coaches are the biggest idiots in the world for the midget running back getting the quarterback beat up. And then the tight end, Adam Shaheen's a rookie. So they're dealing with a lot of rookies right now. I don't think anybody envies the position the Bears are in. Trubisky played all right against Green Bay. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's got to stop taking so many sacks, and some of the stuff's going to come with experience. Dow's still a young coordinator. He's going to need more experience. I don't know how much more time he'll get at Hallis Hall, though, if he'll get time here after this season.
All right, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care, Brad.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs.
Feel better still making that pick?
I'm trying to talk myself into it. The problem is, you know, there's a lot of things going on that I just don't understand. I understand that Dal Logan's, there's no one else. I just don't understand why.
In over his head.
Well, the
is
only...
Is that a short joke?
No, it wasn't. And I'm surprised, you know, that you make fun of a little person. I would just say that when you start talking about the whole Dal Logan's thing. I mean, here's a guy that was promoted to the job he has to work with Jay Cutler. You get rid of Jay Cutler, you're going to draft a quarterback. Why is he doing it? Why didn't you try to upgrade that? I mean, I didn't really understand, but I got the idea with him and Cutler.
Yeah, you're just trying to placate Jay.
But now, and the real inexcusable element of it is there's nobody else that can call a play there, so that's his job security.
Yeah. There's no one
only
in
guy
his
that
ear.
Can put together a game right. plan. That doesn't seem like the ESPN yesterday online.
Yeah,
they had him number 32 in the 32 team NFL.
Yeah, that's you would
dead
hope.
Last play caller. That's not a compliment.
You would hope for better. This segment of the show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And you know what? Fox has got him handcuffed. You know they didn't get him any players. Yeah, why? Why is he here? Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
we need to be more, you know, more efficient there, and we got to clean up some of the stuff and pass protection. And where we really the kind of the narrative of the game came, we struggle a little bit in the run game due to multiple different things.
Mulligan Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Dal Logans. He is the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, and he is a guy that has seemingly been, I don't know if he's been an afterthought or if he's been under pressure or how you would describe the way that he is perceived around here. I don't think there's any Bear fans that look at him. I mean, I think generally speaking, when you talk about the Bears coaches, you say, wow, look at Fox is a defensive-minded coach. He's been to the Super Bowl with two different teams. You got Vic Fangio here. He's a great defensive coordinator. And he's got Ed Donatell, who's a great member of the staff. And you start talking about the brain trust, knows how to run a defense, and that's why you see how well they've played on defense. And then you start talking about Dal Logans. Well, he got the job because he was the man left standing there when Adam Gase got all the power down in Miami. Fox in a rough situation, couldn't come up with a better idea. Cutler, difficult guy to deal with. Hey, Dal Logans was in the room with him. We'll promote him, and there you go. Now, why, when you came into this year, you still wanted to do it that way is a little bit of a mystery to me personally. And again, ESPN yesterday does their listing of the top 32 play callers in the league, and guess what? Dal Logans, the Bears, dead last, 32nd out of 32 teams, according to their panel of experts. So you kind of have this feeling all around that, you know, wow, if you had a better option there, maybe you would go to, maybe you take away play calling, maybe you try something else. Then you think it through. They're a defensive-minded team with a defensive-minded coach. Maybe he's telling the guy, you got to run this, you got to run that, don't do this, don't do that. And some of this stuff falls on Fox. He could have. He's the mayor of the NFL. I know that it's hard to get guys when you're a lame duck and all that stuff, but guess what? There are out-of-work coordinators. There are good people that could run an NFL offense that are on the street. You could bring somebody in. It's not impossible. Having said that, Chris Sims was on with the afternoon show, I believe, yesterday, a midday show last week. Let's listen to what he said about Dal Logans.
I like John Fox. There's no doubt about it. I'll say this. I would never let go of Dal Logans or Vic Fangio, though. No way. Dal Logans is one of the best young offensive minds in the sport. I mean, you saw what he did last year. He had Brian Hoyer looking like he was one of the best quarterbacks in football there before he got hurt. I mean, the offense was kicking butt. He made Matt Barkley look like he could play in the NFL. That just shows you what he's capable of doing. He's been able to do it last year with a banged-up offensive lineman, not great receivers. And again, this year, he's had to alter his game plan and the way it's played again, and he's had to say, you know what, we got to be a running team, we got to play through our defense, that front seven of the Bears is special. So, hey, I think the Bears are going in the right direction. They're just a few pieces away, and just fans out there got to be patient.
So that's Chris Sims. Now, is that out of town stupid, or is that
boy, that sounds like John Fox's
assessment?
Kid. Yeah, we're close. We, you know, just
what the hell is going on?
It's a strange assessment from our perspective, because it feels, and again, I'm not saying he's wrong. I think that they've done a terrible job of putting together an offense.
Right, right.
No. You know, Adam Shaheen is a second-round draft pick, effectively. When they get him? Was that the second round or the third? It was the second round. And they took this guy. And, you know, you need productive players that are contributing right to what you're doing on offense. They had a very limited number of picks because of the trade-up for Trubisky. And you use one of them on a guy that dominated whatever level of play, you know, the grass basketball player and all that stuff. He's struggling. He doesn't look like he's all that. He's got to learn to play with guys his own size. He's not, it's not a lock for him. But are we being too tough on Dal Logans? Is that, you know, when you don't have the pieces and when you're so razor thin that you got Hieronymus Grassou shoved in and you got to try to run the ball with him? I mean,
well,
how do you do that exactly?
Here's the problem. First of all, Matt Barkley seemed, whatever, if he flourished at all, was in the two-minute offense, usually when they were trailing big in a game, and just a hurry-up offense. And, you know, it looked good for 3 weeks, 4 weeks there, maybe. So I don't know that he's a success story. He's not even in the league right now. The idea that Dal Logan's, though, what the blowback yesterday came pretty quickly is when he basically said defenses are dictating to us.
Yes.
And immediately, you know.
You should be dictating to them.
The great offensive play caller would say, okay, right. You got that, I got this. Watch, you know, now, you know, take a look at what I got for you here.
But, I mean, it's a makeshift offensive line.
Oh, yeah, no, look.
The strength of it is in the middle. If Kyle Long can't play, again, I you know, that Hronis Grasso is he's just Hronis. So I don't think that that's working very well. If he's the guy, if Cody Whitehair has to move to guard, it's just it's hard.
No, he's got a terrible hand dealt to him. He's got no wide receivers.
The wide receivers, I mean, that's just – I mean, you call it wide receivers because that's it. But you got the special teamer.
Well, maybe somewhere between one end of the spectrum, Chris Sims, abiding love for the best play caller in the game.
And number 32 in the league.
Yeah, somewhere in there is the reality.
It'd be great if it was in the middle. What do you think of him? 312-644-6767. Let's start with Joe. Joe is on the road. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
Talking about Dal Logan's.
Yeah, so I got a nickname for him. It's Dialing Up No Gains.
Wow. Dialing
the
up,
hang up
no
was
gains.
The beauty of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
And then he dropped the mic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
Dialing up no gains.
Like Fox drops a red flag.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Dialing up no gains.
Okay.
No gains.
What?
Yeah.
I just love the hang up.
Yeah.
I got a nickname.
Boom.
Bam.
So confident
yeah.
in
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I got to go hear myself in the radio.
Chew on that.
Yeah. It's like, is this thing on?
Yeah.
Get him out of here!
That was awesome.
Well, you knew Kevin was going to hang up on him if he didn't hang up, so he beat him to the punch.
No, I don't do that. I let the voice of the fan come through these airwaves, Joe.
Jeez. How
about this one?
Yeah.
Are you idiots saying you know more about the NFL than Chris Sims? I'm just saying we're watching Chicago a little closer. I'm not saying he doesn't know anything.
First of all, it wasn't even Phil Sims.
Well, Chris Sims was okay. You know who he's like best buds with? They went to college together. Is Shanahan's kid, Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, Kyle
Shanahan and Chris Sims went to Texas together. Chris Sims was the quarterback, and Kyle was like
quality control
or something around the program, and they were like best buds.
Did you see that interview with Kenny Mayne and Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Josh Bellamy went to the same junior college there, and Rodgers went, not at the same league. And so they're doing this interview on Soldier Field before the game.
Oh, no.
And Josh Bellamy comes up, and they start hugging, and Kenny Mayne's like, you know, first of all, probably like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And then Josh Bellamy's telling me, yeah, we went to the same junior college. They have a big picture of him in the facility and a big picture of me.
Oh, my.
That's quite a wall of fame there.
No wonder he scored a touchdown.
Just made that up.
I think the Bears are going in the right direction.
Scoreboard update.
No gains.
I've heard that from other people. There are people
what,
that like
up no gains?
No. I'm saying I haven't heard that nickname. I've heard other people, when you're talking to them, that actually say, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say the opposite, but I've heard people say, you know, they got some talent there. They've done okay with the draft. That team could be pretty good in a year or two with the quarterback. I mean, It's not a universally held opinion outside Chicago that the Bears are absolute garbage. I think it is an opinion inside Chicago. And then you always wonder, well, it's because we've got our nose pressed against the window, or is it because we know more than these people do because we watch our teams?
Yeah, it's so. Loggins, just the decision to bring him back this year, you mentioned it. It made absolutely zero sense with a new quarterback. It might get Fox fired, right?
But Fox, it made no sense to bring Fox back with the draft they made, right? So I guess the idea was,
you know what the
we're
going to
do all this free agent signings.
The sense is they didn't want to give him all that walk-away money.
And so,
2 years.
Well, so they were like, okay, we're going to draft a quarterback and sign guys like Adam Shaheen who are future picks, not immediate picks. And, you know, good luck, John. We'll be cheering in the press box.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. Fantasy football players, you have questions. Dave Richard has all the answers. He's here to help. 312-644-6767. See if any of the Bears get a mention, get a start with Dave Richard against the Detroit Lions defense. We'll talk fantasy football with our guru from CBS Sports right after this on Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Fresh! Fresh for fantasy.
Mulliott Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Dave Richard joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. And Dave, of course, the fantasy football expert from CBS Sports and Chicago Guy Made Good. And Dave, you watch tons of NFL and you're focusing on the significant stuff such as who can actually call a play and who can make a play. I don't know if you saw ESPN yesterday, but they listed Dowell Logans as the worst playmaker in the league. Play caller. He's not much of a playmaker either. Do you agree with that? Are you seeing any? It's hard to judge given the weapons the Bears have and given, you know, the fact that the head coach is conservative and they probably don't want to do a hell of a lot. But what do you think of that based on what you see?
Well, it's my job to know a lot about every play caller in the National Football League. And when Logan's was put in, when Adam Gase left Chicago, I kind of sighed a little bit because I was familiar with him from his days in Tennessee. And that Titans offense wasn't exactly bursting with excitement either. I'll tell you the one thing. I saw David Haw's article about Tariq Cohen missing, and that's the easiest thing in the world. Like, the fans can see it, David could see it, I could see it, you guys could see it. Cohen needs to be more involved in the offense. And I wonder if that's just a byproduct of who the quarterback is, because when Mike Glennon was under center, Cohen got targets, Cohen got yards, Cohen was good for fantasy, people had him on their fantasy teams, and the Bears' offense was actually a little dangerous because Cohen, for better or for worse, was their best receiver, their most threatening receiver. And now since Trubisky's been under center, he's not getting that same type of workload, not the same type of targets, certainly not the same type of carries. And Benny Cunningham has, and I'm sure that'll come, if you really press Loggins on it, I'm sure he'd say that Cunningham just gets more opportunities because he's a veteran, he's got experience, they've seen him do it before, they trust him more. And that's part of that conservative nature of John Fox that he wants to have on his team, trying not to lose the game. And you see what happens when the Bears try not to lose. When they try to win, they still might lose, but at least they'll be a little more flashy and exciting about it. I would hope that Cohen would get more opportunities. I just don't think we'll see it pan out for fantasy owners this season.
So would you even see this week? I mean, we know Detroit allowed 200 rushing yards to the Browns last week and averaged 130-plus over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And does Dowell feel like there needs to be a market correction because he was grilled on it yesterday, or it's more of the same?
Maybe he does it a little bit, but he also has Jordan Howard, and that's a guy that he's had no problem giving as many as 30 carries to earlier this season. He did it at Baltimore. It worked out well for the Bears. I think it can happen again this week against Detroit. And I also, there's a coordinator in Chicago that we're not talking about, and that's Vic Fangio. And I think Vic does an excellent job. I know that the Bears don't have a great record, and maybe they're not the best against the run or against the pass, but I think he does a really nice he puts together a nice game plan, especially against opponents he's familiar with. This is one of them with the Lions. Last year, Matthew Stafford had two terrible games. Golden Tate has never had a great game against the Bears. He's been in Detroit for 3 seasons. It wouldn't surprise me if the defense came up big this week, kind of limited the Lions, and then that opens the door for Jordan Howard to get those opportunities, to get 20-plus carries, to rack up over 100 yards, and hopefully by the time he gets into the red zone, finds the end zone and helps fantasy owners that way. Cohen hasn't had more. He's had 5 carries in his last 3 games. I'd be stunned if he had even 10 this week. Not enough for me to trust him in fantasy.
All right, let's get to the public. Your information, your knowledge, your opinion is sought. We'll start with Mike in Bartlett. Mike, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, guys. Love your show. Dave, I got a question, a quarterback question. I have two standard 12-team PPR league. Keenum or Eli Manning?
Oh, boy, you're in hell. Listen, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go with either one of those guys. I'm worried about Eli Manning against the Chiefs, and Keenum was awesome last week, but I think a lot of that had to do with the matchup. You know, they were playing against Washington, and maybe it didn't. Maybe Washington normally does a good job against quarterbacks, and Keenum just stepped up, but I would rather wait on him. this is going to sound crazy, and a lot of you guys aren't going to like this, but I think Jay Cutler is set up for a big-time stat line against the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's defense is not good, and neither is the Dolphins' run game. It's going to fall on Cutler's shoulders to carry the Dolphins' offense, and because he's going to attempt 35-plus passes, and he's got so many good receivers, including the running backs out of the back door, he's been using the tight end more, I think Cutler might be better for fantasy owners than both Keenum and Eli.
And then John Gruden gets hired after that game to take over
and,
the Bucs.
And Dirk Cutter becomes the Bears' offensive coordinator.
Oh, boy.
You know what? You would take that. He's a good one.
I know.
The Bucs aren't winning, but he's a good one.
Let's try Garrett. He's in Naperville. Garrett, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, guys. Two quick ones. Matt Ryan or Derek Carr? And then Marvin Jones against the Bears or Rishard Matthews tonight against Pittsburgh?
I'll take Jones against the Bears over Matthews just because I know that the Steelers' secondary is banged up, but I don't think it's going to hurt them that much because of the way that they play. And it's not like Joe Hayden was a shutdown Pro Bowl cornerback anyway. He'd given up his fair share of big plays. Carr is my pick at quarterback. I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game between the Raiders and the Patriots. Carr coming off a bye has been historically good. The Patriots' defense is getting better, but I think they're going to have a hard time slowing down Oakland. You want to start pretty much every Raider and every Patriot you have on your fantasy team this week.
A couple Texans have quarterback questions. What do you do with Dak Prescott versus Philly after the 8-sack game and Kirk Cousins or Kirk Cousins at New Orleans?
I like Dak one spot better than Cousins. It's a close call. I think both of them have tough matchups. And Cousins, the only reason why he had a big game last week is because he ran for 2 touchdowns. He also had a touchdown drop in the end zone, so maybe it's not exactly fair to say that, you know, the rushing touchdown saved him because he could have had 2 passing touchdowns as well. Prescott, I just like the pedigree, the track record, and I know that he'll run with the ball. I'm expecting the Cowboys to throw a lot in this game. I think they'll be playing from behind. And I think they'll try and do a better job addressing the left tackle situation after last week's debacle. And that could help Dak Prescott out a little bit. So he's still a top 10 quarterback for me.
Let's try Mark. He's in Barrington. Mark, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. I've pretty much given up on Jordy Nelson without Aaron Rodgers. So do I, in a PPR league, do I play Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Diggs, or Brandon Cooks?
I love all three of those guys better than Jordy Nelson. If you've got to play one of them, I think Cooks is the answer just because of the high-scoring nature that's expected between that game. But I like all three of them. And I think Alshon Jeffrey's got a nice matchup. Really, Jeffrey, because of how Carson Wentz has progressed and how that offense is tailored for him, I think Alshon Jeffrey is pretty much a must-start regardless of the matchup. There might be one or two coming up. You know, they played the Bears in Week 12. He's certainly going to start him against his former two men. He'll be at Seattle in Week 13. That's going to be an interesting one for him. And for the most part, I think you look at Alshon as a good start. It's too bad you've got Cooks, too, and you can only use one because Cooks is it this week.
Let's try Tom. Tom's on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave, for my flex, am I going with Jamal Williams or Devontae Parker?
Oh, boy.
I'm going with Parker. I don't trust Jamal Williams. We haven't seen him look good in the preseason and the regular season. His longest run is 7 yards. And, yeah, he might set up to be the Packers' only running back, but in the past we've seen them lean a little bit on their fullback. They put Randall Cobb in the backfield. I think the only way he gets 20 carries is if the Packers are actually ahead in this game like they were last week. No guarantee of that with Brett Hundley under center and with that defense starting to fall apart. So I'll take the upside play, and that's Parker with the Dolphins.
To Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch, Alfred Morris?
I'm going to take Lynch over both, and I just think that the opportunity is there for Lynch to score against the Patriots, get maybe 15 carries. I wonder if coming off the week of rest would help Marshawn Lynch and maybe inspire the coaches to give him a little bit more work to try and grind down the clock, keep that Patriots offense off the field. And New England's defense, it's been a little bit better, but they're still without Dante Hightower in the middle of their run defense. And that helps the running backs that play against them immensely. So I think Marshawn Lynch is a pretty good running back option this week.
All right, we'll close it out with Bill. He's in Chicago. Bill, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm looking for a flex player in a non-PPR, Adam Thielen or Keenan Allen?
I'm going to go with Thielen. I think there's just too much upside with him. And Allen's got a nice matchup this week against Buffalo, and that Bills team is in disarray. Their defense has been falling apart over the last couple of weeks. But it's not like Keenan Allen's been lighting up the scoreboard. It's hard to get away from Thielen. A touchdown in each of his last two games, a monster game last week against Washington. I think Thielen's the better way to go this week.
All righty, Dave. Thank you, buddy. And I know you'll be answering questions on Twitter because our public needs you. And
I do.
Getting to that point, pal.
At Dave Richard. Tweet those questions.
Have a great one, Dave. Enjoy the Bears against the Lions.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a turnaround game, I'm telling you. Forget that Green Bay result. Look what happened to Green Bay. Came off a bye, lost to the Lions, beat the Bears. Here come the Bears. Come off a bye, lose the Packers, beat the Lions. See, it's all lined up.
When you say turnaround game, does that mean I'll be watching and then
you yeah, if you're
bad,
back to the TV?
Around. You will turn around. Yeah.
Turn around and go do something else.
All right, buddy. Dave. That's about right. Wow. Dave's got it.
Everyone's down on him.
I know.
You're going to do great, thanks.
No, your organization.
They're ruining the game.
Bears are. No. They're going to make a comeback any day now.
Good pick them.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports. I was before I came in here this morning. Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.